Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. That is, all unqualified praise is due to Allah, and after that, all unqualified praise is due to Allah. Alhamdulillah, alladhi khalaqa al-insana fi ahsan al-taqweem. All unqualified praise is due to Allah, who created the human being in the most excellent mold. Wa ba'atha nabiyyin mubashirin wa munzirin, and commissioned from among them messengers as bringers of good news and as warners. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. I bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment. There is no deity, no object of worship except Allah. Lahul mulk, to him is the kingdom. Wa lahul hamd, to him is due all unqualified praise. Bi yadihi al-khayr, in his hand is all good. Wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, and he has power over all things. Wa ashhadu anna sayyidina Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu, and we bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment that Muhammad, to whom the Quran is revealed, is his slave servant, his last and final prophet. We say, Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barak ala Sayyidina Muhammad. O Allah, send your prayers, your peace, and your blessings upon our leader Muhammad, wa ala alihi, and upon his family, wa sahbihi, and upon his companions, ajma'een, all of them. Wa ya ayyuhal muslimun, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الرحمن علم القرآن خلق الإنسان علمه البيان صدق الله العظيم. Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. An expression of this, the 55th ayah, Surah Rahman, and its first four verses. The merciful benefactor, often translated as the most gracious. It is he who taught the Quran. He has created man, and he has taught him speech and intelligence. And we say, Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. Alhamdulillah, this is a continuation of the topic that we've been on basically since the end of Ramadan, and mashallah, in as much as Eid al-Adha is upon us. So it's been nearly 70 days or even 10 weeks. So the formal count would be number 10. The general count is number 9. And we've worked our way through the first three ayahs so far of this reading, and now ayah 4 of that reading, Alamahul Bayan, Alamahul Bayan. And we're going to go straight to it. The title of this subject matter has been and is Further Into the Frontier of the Holy Quran. So the general translation, I'm going to actually read 5 or 6 other translations. We know the Quran can't be translated in the most formal way, so we say expressions of these verses from Lughat al-Arabiya, from the Arabic language. The Yusuf Ali translation says, and he has taught him speech and intelligence. The Sahih International translation says, and taught him eloquence. The Pickthall translation says, he has taught him utterance. The Muhammad Sawar translation says, and has taught him intelligent speech. The Muhsin Khan translation says, he taught him eloquent speech. And the Arbery translation says, and he taught him the explanation. This term, the term that is the primary focus of our attention today, is Al-Bayan, Al-Bayan. So we would say that he made him capable of abstract thought. So the khutbah is intended to make that point, that the translations of it being speech and intelligence and utterances and eloquence and the like, all true, but not primarily, secondarily, that is, this is something that is cause. So as we proceed, we will, inshallah, establish that for you. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. La ikraha fi al-deen. قد تبين رشد من الغي. صدق الله العظيم. This is the 256th ayah of Surah Al-Baqarah, the first portion of it. It says, most often translated as, let there be no compulsion in religion. Truth stands out clear from error. And Allah the Mighty has spoken the truth. So here's this term, the same radical, the same root for the term Allamahul Bayan is also in this verse, the reading that I just read, قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ رُشْدَ مِنَ الْغَيْءِ, and the author chose to translate it as truth stands out clear from error. So they're translating تَبَيَّنَ, they're translating it as the truth. As the truth. So tabayana is translated as truth, but not because it explicitly, that is that term, bayana, tabayana, that's the fifth form of bayana, tabayana, not because that phrase or that word means explicitly truth, because we know that haq is the truth. So when the choice is being made to translate as truth, we should understand, and this is what we hope to explain, why would that be selected as an expression or a translation of tabayyana. So it explicitly, not because it explicitly means the truth, but because tabayyana is what gets you to the truth. Tabayyana is what gets you to the truth. In the adhan that we have, and we hear alhamdulillah always on a daily basis, but certainly and especially in Jum'ah, we hear that and we hear it in the adhan. It says, Hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah. Hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah. So in the adhan, the translation is often, come to prayer, come to success. Come to prayer, come to success. So Hayya alal falah is often translated as come to success for similar reasons, not because falah means success, but because falah is speaking to the cultivation of your potential. The cultivation, falah is cultivation. Come to cultivation. Come to success. Hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah. When you come to salah, you come to cultivation. When you cultivate, you become successful. Literally, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us in the Quran. وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَاهَا فَأَلْحَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَهَا مَنْ زَكَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَهَا مَنْ زَكَاهَا. Surely he, translations often said, succeeds, right? Surely he cultivates who causes it to grow, who causes his own soul to grow, his own self to grow. How is that done? Salah, zakah, sawm, etc. The practices of al-Islam bring about that cultivation. So the cultivation that's spoken of is that leads to success. So success as a translation basically skips over what I've just explained, is that come to prayer, come to success. But between prayer, quote unquote, and success is cultivation. When you cultivate your potential, then you become successful. So in the same way, if tabayyana is translated as truth because of the fact that that's what it means, that not because that's what it means, but because that's what it leads to. Tabayyana leads to the truth, and the translators are choosing to say, well, we're not going to give the in-between, we're just going to go to the outcome of that particular term. You get this, then you'll get that. You get tabayyana, you'll get the truth. You come to prayer, you'll be successful. You aflaha, you cultivate yourself, you will be successful. Okay. So now, this is a very big part of what we're talking about. Listen, brother and sister. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَكِّرْ إِن نَفَآتِ ذِكْرَى. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that surah, Surah Al-A'la, was most often the traditional surah that he would recite for the Jumu'ah, for the two rakahs of Salah in Yawm al-Jumu'ah. And it is speaking to thinking. Understand this. Everyone that is conscious is not thinking. Everyone that is conscious is not thinking. Everyone that is hearing is not listening. Everyone, you're hearing, but are you listening? Everybody that's hearing is not listening. Everybody that is talking is not communicating. Just because you talk doesn't mean that you're communicating. Just because you're hearing, it doesn't mean that you're listening. Just because you're conscious doesn't mean that you're thinking. Thinking is a whole other thing. When Allah tells us to make dhikr, it's not just subhanAllah, 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 subhanAllah. Dhikr is about turn on that machinery that I have put as a part of your makeup, a part of that ahsan al-taqweem, a part of that excellent mold and structure that I put you in is the brain that I put in you. Turn it on. Turn it on. Dhakir in nafa'ati dhikra. So this is what we're talking about. I kind of get warmed up a little bit and not always in the best way when I say, you ain't thinking. So I got woosa, I think they say that. So when the Quran says think, ذكر إن نفعت ذكرى, an expression of it is think, for surely you progress by the power of thought. Brother and sister, we came here in cars, Most of us, it doesn't matter. You came on some form of transportation, and more than likely, I don't see anybody that walks in from the neighborhood here, so most of you are in some kind of vehicle. Did a dummy make that vehicle? Now, it could have been a dummy on the assembly line, no disrespect. Could have been a dummy on the assembly line, but the one who invented the car and who structured the car or made the business format and platform upon which the car was made through technology and industry, they were not dummies. They were thinkers. This building that we're in, it was built by thinkers. The clothes that we wear, they were constructed by thinkers. People who had the ability to use their brain to produce where something before that did not exist. So, what we're speaking to is how much of a grace it is that Allah says, "Allamahul Bayan." That's what the aim is. We want to understand what a great and what a profound blessing it is that Allah, the grace that Allah has given us in saying and taught him speech and expression. So here comes the word logic. If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. Simple. That's very simple logic. Quranic logic means the premises for your reasoning come from the Quran. If Allah has said one thing that is true, and then he says another thing that is true, then what are you to conclude from that by reasoning from the premises that Allah has given you? Allah gave you this, that's one premise. Allah gave you another thing, that's another premise. And that adds up to what? What it adds up to is the product of Quranic reasoning, thinking with the Quran, using what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said as the premises for your thinking. Alright. So, the key point here is Bayyana is translated as speech and intelligence. But Bayyana on the face of it, in the root of it, at the core of it, does not mean speech and intelligence. And actually, the Yusuf Ali, for example, he has speech and then he has and intelligence in parentheses, which is to say, well, look, I'm just giving you this in order to give you a little more clarity. But even his statement about it as speech, explicitly speaking, is not speech. It's not speech. In usage, yes, in common usage, the way people understand it, etc., but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking deeper than the common language communication that we have. And so let's go forward with this. So if bayyana is truth, not because that's what it means, but because that's what it leads to, and if falah, I'm giving you the premises, and if falah is success, not because that's what it means, but because that's what it leads to, then by that same reasoning, if bayan has been used and translated as speech and intelligence, it's not because it means speech and intelligence. It is being expressed as that which leads to speech and intelligence. It's very important. That which leads to speech and intelligence. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would put an emphasis by saying it three times. It's that which bayan means, that which leads to speech and intelligence by the reasoning that I just shared with you. By that reasoning of falah, and the reasoning, as we said, katabayana rushtu, as truth, apply that same reasoning to the choice to translate allamahul bayan as speech and intelligence. Bayan is not speech and intelligence in the frame that I've laid out for you, but by the same Quranic reasoning, it is that which leads to speech and intelligence. So that therefore becomes the way to get to what Allah has actually, alamahul bayan. What has he actually what is that that he has actually taught? If you say it's not speech and intelligence. So you have the question, so you can walk with me into this area. Thus, in order to get to what Allah is designating by the phrase Alamahul Bayan, we don't need a dictionary. We need to ask and answer the question, what is it that leads to speech and intelligence? What is it that leads to success? Falah. What is falah? Cultivation. What is it that leads to truth? Al-Bayan. And what is that? You can go ahead and I'll give you that piece right away. Where it says, it means investigation. It means investigation. We'll give more details. It means investigation. So investigation is what leads to truth. And if you are applying Al-Bayan, then just like Hayya ala al-Falah, Hayya ala al-Falah, the automatic result of prayer is success. The automatic result of tabayyana is discovery of the truth. But what is tabayyana? It is to investigate. To investigate, to get to the bottom of something. Huh? So then when we ask the question, what is it that leads to what has been translated as speech and intelligence? What leads to that speech and intelligence? What are we to understand from it? Human language. What is it that gives us human language? What is it that gives us human language? And there's a big important qualification in that. So, brother and sister, we're used to talking to each other, so we take it for granted. We take the way that we communicate with each other, the language that we use. We rarely even think about it. We never think of it, but Allah says that that's one of his ayah. One of his ayah is that you speak to each other. One of his ayah is that you speak to each other intelligently. This is what Allah is saying. Allah is saying, you don't understand what a quote-unquote, I'll use the term, miracle it is. And what a unique feature it is about you as a creature that I created, Allah, that I created. You take your ability to speak to each other, you take it for granted. You don't even think about it. It's like breathing. How often do we think about breathing when we can't breathe? It's like, now you're thinking about breathing. But all the time before, hey, we're even thinking about it. It's just, It's the same way with language. But human language, brother and sister, it is a heavy thing. I'm going to try to go on and not be so editorial, but try to bring you, mashallah, there's no boast where I am in terms of that, because to understand language as a grace from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a blessing, as a generosity from Allah to us as human beings is a big deal. So let's see if we can see more of that. Human beings, are the only creatures that have language in the formal, scientific, explicit sense of language. I'm not going to go into all the long conversation distinction between, well, what about the animals, what about gorillas and sign language, and what about birds, and what about Solomon and David? They were taught the speech of birds, and alhamdulillah. That's very interesting territory to get into. And that's good. So that's good. You should follow that up, and great benefit will come from it. But the term that's actually used, especially when it talks about the speech of birds or what have you, is nautical. Nautical. Noon, thaw, cough. And it has meaning. It has its meaning. But we're talking about lisan, for example. Lisan is from the tongue. All right? Al-kalam. Kalam are words or meaningful speech, meaningful utterances. Okay? So, something can have a tongue, but if it's not making meaningful utterances, that's not language. And now let's go to the other part of that. Okay, well, what about whatever, a creature that makes utterances, that has a tongue, but if those utterances are not meaningful to you, then it's not al-kalam. So it has a tongue, but if it has a tongue and it makes utterances off the tongue, that does not make it language, right? And what about parrots, whoever the creatures that repeat what you say? You know, probably want a cracker. Okay, I mean I haven't looked in the bird's mouth to see if he has a tongue, but let's assume he has a tongue, right? What's making that sound is the vocal structure in the bird, wherever it is. I'm pointing here, it's not necessarily there, but it's the vocal structure that what they're doing, they're using their power for making sound to reiterate the sound that they hear. Allah has constructed them that way, those particular birds, to be able to do that. But are those words properly repeated, or rather accurately repeated, are those words connected to a brain? Are they connected to a conscience? Does the creature know what it has actually said? No, don't spend a lot of time with that. No, it doesn't. Well, maybe, I don't know. It doesn't. It doesn't have the human mind, the human brain, the human consciousness. That is what gives us the power of giving human language. Okay, so now, one of the other distinctions of human language is that animals make sounds, give signals, etc., when they are afraid, when they are, their mating calls, when they want to warn the troop. You have the monkeys for sure, and I know deers also do the same thing. I'm sure, no doubt, really many others give signals of warning to the others in their, whatever, pride, tribe, whatever you want to call it. And so there is signal, but here's the difference. Here's the big difference. It relates to something that is happening immediately in their environment. If they see a threat, then they'll give a call that lets everybody know there's a threat coming. If there's food available, or if it's mating season, all those, there are certain signs and signals that are given in sound from them that bring that about. But that all relates to the immediate environment. That is not human communication, as obvious as that sounds. What's the big deal with human beings? The big deal with human beings is human beings have the ability to create words. To create words for the purpose of carrying ideas. So when we talk about al-kalam, for example, when we talk about those words, then we produce words, whatever, anywhere, it doesn't matter. Paradigm is really a recently created word. Cosmos, in times of history, in terms of human existence, cosmos, that's a created word. Many, many, many words in this era that we live in as human beings. These are words that were brought into existence by a thinking human being that says, now, how can I express this idea that I have in my mind to be able to send it to others so that they can get the benefit of what I've come to understand? Einstein, for example, we have a man in the audience who met Einstein. Einstein walked around in his neighborhood, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. So Einstein, there were thoughts that he had all that time when he was doing that walk, and he's walking and thinking. He's walking and thinking, and then he come up with an idea, but then there's no words in the language for the idea that he comes up with, so he has to invent a word to put the idea in and then tell people, here's the word and here's what it means. And the human being, because they have this capacity, they'll say, oh, that's what you're talking about? Monkeys don't do that. Dogs don't do that. Birds don't do that. Fish don't do that. Only human beings do that. So if you can appreciate just the fact that we can create words, you know this vocabulary that we use
that we didn't have anything to do with creating, but we actually couldn't live without, meaning our lives could not function in the way that they do if we did not have the vocabulary. The vocabulary is what helps us get through life itself. And this is why Allah, among many other reasons, why Allah said, it is a part of the signs of His miracle that you speak to each other intelligently. What do you think it takes to be a scientist and you get a degree, you get a bachelor's, master's, a doctorate in linguistics, biolinguistics? You think you have to have some kind of brain in order to do that? Why? Everybody talks. Everybody talks. What's the big deal? But do you know how you talk? Do you know what makes your talking possible? Because you have created that possibility for yourself. Ar-Rahman, allama al-Qur'an, khalaqa al-insan, allamahu al-bayan. He is the one, Allah, by His design. I gave you the capacity to even speak, and you wouldn't even have a vocabulary without the apparatus that I put in your excellent form. You wouldn't even be able to have a conversation. You'd be another animal. It's a big deal. So this words, I hope you appreciate words, because that's not the end of the story. I have said no other creature makes words. Look around creation. Let me see. Nobody. Nothing. But words mean nothing without grammar. I'm talking to you about what makes human language. Words mean nothing without grammar. Let me give you some words. Apple, baker, crater, dog, every, feather, given. I'll just stop there. Okay, so without necessarily repeating what I said, what did what I say mean? What did it mean? Apple, baker, crater, and whatever else I said. Dog, every feather, given. What does it mean? Nothing. Wait. But if I ask you, you can give me some idea what each one of those words mean. If you speak English, it's like, okay, it means that. Okay, but what do they mean stated all that together? It means nothing. It's meaningless. Wait. Every word means something, but that selection of words is meaningless. Why is it meaningless? Because it's not structured according to a grammar. It's only when words are put into a certain order in relationship to each other that they produce that is called meaning. So what makes human language? Those two things. Words and grammar. Words and grammar. Monkeys don't have grammar. Dogs don't have grammar. Blah, blah, blah. Not human language, no words, etc. That's our human language. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is the words and the grammar that make human language, which is meaningful expressions, al-kalam, meaningful expressions that are outside of the immediate environment, as we conclude this portion of the khutbah. That is, when an animal, for example, barks, growls, snarls, tweets, etc., those are utterances, but they are not human utterances. And they all relate to their immediate environment. But I, as a human being, can talk about, here I got to give you another word, abstracts. So let's say you only remember three words that I said of the whole khutbah. I only remember three words. What was the three words? Words, grammar, abstract. Let's go with wag. I want you to remember because I want you to think about it. Words, abstract, grammar. Just for memory. This is what distinguishes us from all other human beings. Why? Because this is what makes our human existence possible. Words, grammar, and the ability to think abstractly. Concluding this portion of the khutbah is, what does it mean to think abstractly? Abstract thinking is different than animal thinking. If an animal is afraid, he's afraid of something in his immediate environment. If an animal is hungry and going after something, he's going after it because it's in its immediate environment. All that kind. But the human being can talk about yesterday. Even the word. Yesterday. That's abstract. Animals don't think about yesterday. They think about what's happening right now. But a human being can talk about yesterday. Human being can talk about tomorrow. Human being can think about the past, think about the future. He has words, she has words for the past, words for the future, and so many other words that enable the human being to think about things, which enables that human being to be able to produce things that otherwise would not exist. Man goes into outer space. Take away his words, does he get to outer space? Nothing that we do can be done without the capacity for abstract thought. And to the extent that we don't find that significant, it's to that extent that we don't know how to think. And so much of our life will be confined to an animal caliber existence, because we don't think beyond our immediate situation. So the world wants to keep us on the level of animals, discouraging us to think. And when somebody talks to you about stuff that makes you think, you get sleepy. Like, oh, I ain't got no time to be thinking. The brain has to be turned on in order to get its full benefit. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. آمين آمين. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. So simply put, al-bayan is the source of speech and intelligence. Now, drill down, just on the next lower level. More profoundly, al-bayan is the human capacity for abstract thought, which produces words and grammar, which man himself is not capable of bringing into existence, and which leads to truth and reality. Let me tell you, brother and sister, what I just read to you is a functional definition of al-bayan. Speech and intelligence is sufficient for reading the Quran and moving on with whatever it is that you're doing. But to achieve the great benefit that Allah revealed the Quran to us for, we have to get to the reality, the real meaning of that. So let me read that again. Al-bayan, remember, it's the cause of the thing that the translators have chosen to call it, speech and intelligence. But it's the cause. It's the cause for that thing that's mentioned. And what is that? the capacity for producing words and grammar. Listen, the success of the Egyptians, you go back to whoever you want to think about, the success of the Egyptians or the Greeks or the Chinese or what have you, I say again, take away their words and their grammar and see what you got. You got nothing. That is the source. And it comes from our capacity for creating words. Where are the words coming from? They're coming from the ideas. Where are the ideas coming from? The capacity of a human being to see something and abstract from it meaning. And then put that meaning in a package and apply it in the world and produce what before was not existing. That's a grace from Allah. I know it's going to take a minute to sit with it, but listen, all you got to do is just take away words and see what's left. In everything in existence, everything that we call civilization, everything, take away words and see what will remain. We'll have nothing. What's that? It's by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we even have that. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنَ الرَّسُولِ إِلَّا بِاللِّسَانِ قَوْمِهِ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ صدق الله العظيم. And Allah says, and we did not send a messenger except with the language lisani, with the language qawmihi of his people, liyubayyana lahum. There's that word again. Liyubayyana lahum. In order to make things clear to them. Speaking the language of the people that he's sent to make things clear. Quran also says, لَمْ يَكُنِ الَّذِينَ كَفِرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ مُنْفَكِينَ حَتَّى تَتِيَهُمُ الْبَيَّنَةِ. That word again is appearing there. The unbelievers, the rejecters, they are not going to believe until there comes to them, the sign. That is, that sign, مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ مُنْفَكِينَ. They are not going to come away from their hypocrisy, disbelief, etc. مُنْفَكِينَ حَتَّى تَتِيُهُمُ الْبَيِّنَةِ. Until they are given, clear evidence, the translator calls it clear evidence, but this is al-bayyina. What I want to share with you is this. Bayan, in its root, it means separation. It means investigation. It means distinction. It means this. And the Quran also, in another verse, where it says, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينة من الهدى والفرقان. That furqan comes very close to the same meaning. But the idea of bayan, the idea of bayan is the idea of making it clear. Listen, have you ever been confused? Look at the word. Confused. If something is fused together, and if it's fused and it should not be fused, that's a problem. Bayyana is to separate it, makes things clear. This is what bayan does. Knowledge comes to you, you're confused. Why are you confused? You're confused because you can't make the distinction between one thing and another.
But Balaam is what makes things that are confusing clear. عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ Allah taught the human being that which gives him the capacity to make confusing things clear. Do we need that? Some of you need it right now. I said, damn, man, it's like, I can show you some of that bayan right now, boy. It's like, yeah, I'm, excuse me, I'm confused. Forgot I was doing Juma, man. I was a bit left. It's all a natural bodily function. So, and I was just imitating somebody else. I'm trying to excuse myself now. But listen, I keep wanting to get that green carpet to be the place for sunnah. Come on, my brother. Come on forward. Alhamdulillah. Ahlan. Ahlan. We're almost done. So, this bayyana that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with the capacity. Now you got to ask yourself. How much of my capacity for making things clear am I actually using? Think about it. Are there things confusing in your life? Things in life that confuse you? Are there things about Al-Islam that confuse you, etc.? Well then, all you need to do is get the words and the grammar for what it is that you're talking about from what Allah has revealed, and those things will be clear. Those things will be made clear. So you have to ask yourself, how much time am I giving to learning the words and the grammar of the Quran? Because brother and sister, see, the stuff that we got from college, the stuff that we get from high school, elementary school, etc., they teach us how to read books. They teach us how to speak with proper grammar, diction, etc. We learn those things. But see, what they don't teach us is how to think. They teach us how to have the tools necessary for us to work and serve somebody else. But when it comes to participating as Allah created you in the universe that He created you for you to get the benefits for yourself in this world without depending on anybody else, they don't teach you that. Allah revealing the Quran, and when we learn how to read and understand what Allah has given us in the Quran, we won't be beholden to people that we think they're so great because they've done so much. If you can just understand, it's nothing but their language that they don't teach us and that they keep us confused about. And so if they can keep us confused about their language, they create words that are specifically designed to block you out of industries. You can't come in here, and we are creating words every day that hide the information from you, but we teach the language to the people that we want to be able to come through the door. That's the only thing they got over you. You don't understand their language. And so what I'm saying, here's the key. Is there a world that you want to be in right now that you're not in? Is there a class, a caliber, a status, a level that you want to be on that you're dealing with right now, and you just can't seem to break through, get over, get there? All you have to do is to learn their language. Wallahi, I'm telling you, that's all you have. If you don't put in any work to learn their language, you're always going to be locked out. So wherever you want to go, find out what's the vocabulary, what are the words, and what is the grammar for that field. And when you understand the words and the grammar for that field, the door is going to open up wide for you. But if you're unwilling to put in that work, you just need to stay where you are. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم
وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Oh Allah, we thank you for your divine graces. We thank you for the blessings that we know, and we thank you for the blessings that we don't know. Oh Allah, make us grateful for all that you have given us. Oh Allah, bless us not to waste the potential that you have put in our very nature. Oh Allah, bless us to awaken and to cultivate all of the capacities to capabilities that would enable us to have the life that you have promised for the believers in this world and in the world that comes after. We beg that you would bless us to awaken from any sleep, that you would raise us up from any low levels of consciousness. Raise us up to a state where we are alive, where we are illumined, where we are enlightened, where we are inspired, where we are encouraged, where we recognize our capability with confidence and without doubt and without hesitation, without fear, without a sense of low self-esteem. Bless us, O Allah, to recognize that you have put us on the plane of the highest of the high in this world. Bless us, O Allah, to awaken and to give proof of the grace that you have blessed us with by establishing and producing that which has not been established and produced before our time. We know that is possible because we live in a time and in a place where the Quran is present with us, and we have more at our access and available to us today than ever before from any Muslims that preceded us. And we thank Allah for the grace that he has blessed us through the Muslims that preceded us. Oh Allah, bless us to be those who leave a mark on history in such a way that the world is benefited by our having lived and having received the Quran and having made Shahada, and we give our life for the purpose of furthering your will in this world. We beg this of you only, for none can grant or withhold this but you. Ameen. Halumma ameen. Wa akim as-salat. Allahu Akbar.
And that's the only way we'll make things better. Birds of a feather, a flock
Dear brothers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Thank you for joining us this morning to the Mission Leadership. We just aired yesterday's recording of Message War Themes, Jumu'ah, further into the frontier of the whole land. My apologies to especially my blog talk. That Facebook piece is still trying to crack in, my iPad just got problems, so just stopped trying to use it, and so we're trying to get it to come straight from the booth that I ordered from. So for future reference, always go to Vimeo.com. There's the Message War Theme site, warthemes.org, I'm pretty sure it is. Go to that site, and it is pretty much it's there. That's the more certain. Vimeo.com. Let me say this also. I believe I'm on the study of Islam tomorrow morning. not a good guess. Yes, meaning G-U-E-S-T, in that I tell you exactly the numbers to get there. I know the online who do check in always with the study of Islam. So if you know that, especially on Facebook, throw it up in the comments section how to the study of Islam broadcast time it is. That'll be good. So inshallah, that's going to be tomorrow morning. So yeah, like I said, we're working the details for getting that face straight. It was literally. It was bad on not having
on the Blog Talk Radio said I was so focused on the content that, you know, got right up to minute, and when I headed out to the masjid for Juman, as soon as I was at the rostrum ready to make that call to start it, I realized, hey man, you haven't even set it up. It's all on me. So inshallah, we won't have that problem again, but of course Allah is in charge of everything. So alhamdulillah, again, welcome. And for as far as the change structure of the program, I've been to, I don't think it was last week, but I've decided to go ahead and keep the Saturday broadcast the way that it is. That is, since usually Juma is somewhere real close to an hour, I'll go ahead and keep it as a 2-hour on Saturday. That won't be the case. I think we decided on Sunday that the last few minutes, maybe right now, since trying to stick with an hour, so probably maybe 15 minutes of the previous broadcast for Sunday, and then the rest of the time will be based on your dial conversation. Then we'll check out if you have much to talk about. Then that'll be that. And then of course Monday broadcast is going to still be an hour. And inshallah we'll have my new co-host Camila Mahasin Belalwaib on the Monday broadcast. Then the Wednesday has been shifted to 6 a.m. and 5 to 7, and it will be a lot from 6 to 7, and we'll still play some people from our archives of Imam, maybe about a half hour, and have some content after that. That'll only be 4 to 7 Pacific time. So, inshallah, I look forward to sticking with us on that. And all of this is also invite you also encourage you, anytime explaining it, become a part of the Clear Understanding Institute. The website is standing.institute. We have content that we're not going to be putting on Blog Talk, Facebook, anything else. Master classes on subjects, like the one that we just finished. Still another level. Yeah, there's another level to go, and it's that kind of content that we're putting on the website. Alhamdulillah, so now it's your time. Come on. Yes, feedback, input that you could give before we go on. Of course, the fact that others have comments to make too, but we welcome the conversation that comes. So push one on, come on through on Blog. I am, for the moment, looking at the Facebook site, As-salamu alaykum, to those of you who join us there. And you can type comment. I'll be looking at that as well for this moment in time. We'll take those who punch up one on Talk Grade. And I'll start with Brother Mark. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh to you, Imam Fahim Shuaib, and to the very astute listeners. This is Mark Shaheed from the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis, and the Show Me State of Missouri. I want to say, first and foremost, alhamdulillah, that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, first and foremost, and have to commend you once again on the excellent, excellent khutbah. As you continue on in this series, so many valuable things are said. I really decided to chime in because I know you was referencing the study out of Islam, in which maybe most of, hopefully all of the listeners were a study of Islam, the production for about the last 7 to 8 years produced by our beloved sister Fitra Muhammad there in the nation's capital. Imam Fahim will be the first one up in a new topic. It loses my memory right now, but I can say to the listeners that if you dial 712 770-4160. That's the number that you would call, and then you have to put in the access code. The access code is 684-012-pound. I'll say it one more time. You have to call 712-770-4160. And then you have to put in the access code to get into Study Al-Islam, and that's 684-012-pound. If you're in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, it would be 10 a.m. for those in the Eastern Standard Time Zone. If you're in the Central Standard Time Zone, it will be 9 a.m. for you. And if you're on the West Coast, Pacific Coast time, it will be 7 a.m. for you. And that's each and every Sunday, each and every Sunday morning. If you should perchance miss it, then it will go into the archives and be available for 1 week until the next presenter comes on. Take the number that I've given you, just change the zero where you have 60 and just make the 09, and you can retrieve it if perchance you miss it. So we don't want to miss it, but alhamdulillah, I just wanted to give that information for those who may want to tune in. And so our beloved Imam Fahim Shoaib will be the first of the presenters on the new topic that Fitri Muhammad have given to all of the very, I would say, outstanding intellects that we have in our community that participate on Study Al-Islam. You know, Brother Imam, you know, so many things were said in your lecture, your khutbah, you know, yesterday, and I didn't get it either, so I was like, what's going on here? But alhamdulillah, I was able to get most of it today. And you making a distinction in how Allah has favored the human being with the ability and the capacity to be able to have intelligent communication, speech. And I was thinking while you were talking about Al-Bayan in terms of Fakan, and you actually mentioned that in your khutbah, and then the distinction in terms of the words you use as the acronym WAG, words, abstract, and grammar, which we see in the animal world, they don't have, they make sounds, they have utterance, and other things or signs that they will use to communicate with, but they don't have grammar, and they cannot think in an abstract way. Very, very important, this favor that Allah has given to us. And so it should not be taken for grammar. And then when we look at the Quran in terms of the words, as Imam Muhammad made famous now, words make people. Well, you know, I'm quite sure that Imam Muhammad was the Quran impressed that upon his mind, because that is actually in the Quran in terms of what it is that you just read in Surah Al-Rahman, where Allah is telling you, telling us that the teaching of the Quran, you understand, it is how the human creation, and notably, we look at that in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I can say a lot more about that, but it is words that make people. And the last thing I want to really much say is that the best words to make people or to make the human being is the word of revelation, the final revelation, which is the Quran, and then the ability to be able to think. I leave you with this acronym of think. The help I, capital I, now know. And if you're thinking it's that I now know in nurturing growth, and this is how the human being grows. Thank you, Brother Imam. Appreciate you and the excellent khutbah and the topic that we're on. And may Allah continue to increase all of us in knowledge and wisdom and understanding. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah. Thank you for your comment. Thank you for those details for study of Islam. Alhamdulillah. My subject matter is going to be around Adam Pipe, the serpent.
See, when you said it, it brought it back to mind. So we really don't want to miss that, you know, because there's a whole lot of, I think, confusion that I've heard, you know, people in terms of trying to interpret, if you will, that. So we really don't want to miss that. So thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Well, brother Iman, good to be on with you. You have inspired me to take the step that, you know, kind of basically needed to be taken to inform the people about this idea of music. You know, I've been, you know, teaching about music in the Clara Muhammad School in many forms, and really, you know, working on what the understanding is. All praises due to Allah. You know, Imam W.D. Muhammad inspired it when he made that speech that said, you know, like, I could have given y'all ding 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 ding, but I didn't want y'all to have that. So, you know, from there, from that time on, then, you know, late 80s or something like that, I have been working on it. In 1993, I did something, but I've, you know, come out of the Clara Muhammad School, which was, you know, has been very successful in working with that, and decided to, you know, just share with the people on Facebook what I've come to understand. And Brother Imam, there was so much, it was just so much pushback. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Much pushback, right? So, you know, I said to them, I said, I was basically attempting to get humans to distinguish music as a European concept, because, you know, like they always say that, you know, music is haram. And the way that we first heard about it is that, you know, Arabs told us, you know, our international brothers told us that music was haram. And so it's like, you know, it's like, why would they say that? So, you know, from all that time, I've been really trying to understand what that is. But I finally come to an idea of what it is that that music basically is a European concept. And this European concept, you know, came into, you know, it came at a time when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, he was, you know, teaching the Quran. So they were building the Arabs were building a culture built on recitation that came from, you know, on Prophet Muhammad. But this music thing that people would bring in would be a distraction. So, you know, that's why they said that music was haram, because it distracted from the recitation that, you know, everybody was learning at that time, because the recitation basically turned into, you know, an art form. You know, you know, people, you know, like who can recite the best? You know, and that was that became like an art form, and that's what, you know, people started to do, and even to this very day, you know, that's what it is. But music in itself, you know, like, is a European concept that is built on the muse idea, you know, pertaining to muses. And so I was telling people that it's not that, you know, it's not that what people do is music, because music don't have anything to do with what singers and instrumentalists do. What they basically do, they make sound art. It's the art of sound. And that's a little closer to what Allah does, as opposed to music, you know, sound art, you know. So it's a, you're just trying to, you know. No, I'm just telling you that, I'm just sharing this information with you. But I did get a lot of pushback on it. But I think that, you know, like I'm, you know, like I have to continue to address these people. And, you know, I mean, everything that, I mean, there's no questions that they're asking me that I can't answer, you know. I mean, not to their satisfaction, but I feel very comfortable in, you know, making the presentation, you know. You know, Allah has blessed me, whereas, you know, I can make the presentation and whatever it is that they come at me with, you know, like I was like, yo, bring it, you know, and I can, you know, I really have something to come back, and I come back with them from the logical point of view and from a Quranic point, because that's what I'm trying to get. I'm trying to get them to the point to understand the history of the word music and then understand the concept of the muse. And then to bring them to, you know, what Allah has to say about this concept. Because basically, Allah doesn't have anything to say about music because it's too small a concept. You know, music is a term that's man-made. Music is a man-made term. So the thing is that Allah don't deal with no small concept like music. It's like, yo, Allah deals with big concepts. But I can't get them to the big concept until I get them to understand the history and the concept that we as African-Americans have been seduced into by this enslavement that comes from Africa, you know. And you know, not only did the European bring, you know, to enslave the African to America, but he brought his culture to America too. And we have got caught up in his culture. And so, you know, we embraced his culture, and then we took his culture further as far as music is concerned, because the thing is that, you know, like we took the art of sound and everything. We took all of these things further, you know, but we have embraced it to the point now that, you know, like it's like, you know, we understand, you know, and that, you know, That you know, it's like it reminds me a lot of times of Abraham. It's like, you know, Abraham, you know, Allah told him, said, listen, man, you know, like you don't have to, you know, you don't have to sacrifice your son. And you know, like, and he said, you know, let's do what we got to do. But you know, a lot of people are like, what? I mean, brother, man, I've heard people say, yo, I'm never giving up music. I'm like, yo, like, dang. You know, even for your dean, you wouldn't even consider it. You wouldn't even consider, I'm never giving up. No, yo, you must be crazy, or you going out of your mind. Brother, what you talking about? You know, yo, the devil done got you. Oh, my gosh, brother, man. So, you know, that's where I am, but I'm going to continue with this. I'm going to continue.
All right.
Wait,
where can we get your station on it? Meaning that, you know, sit down and here's where I'm going from A to B, so that we can have the benefit of just understanding what your thesis is and what your logic is, and, you know, where you have it in complete form.
You know what? I don't have it in complete form because, you know, I've actually taught it as separate classes in the Clara Muhammad School, you know, like on a weekly basis. You know, that's what I did. You know, I did it at the Clara Muhammad School in Queens, Clara Muhammad School in Brooklyn, a New African Ummah Online School. I've done it there. I've also made presentations about making the hijra from music to performing arts in front of at conventions. I've done presentations, but I just decided that, you know, from working in Clara Muhammad School, that I should basically, you know, start informing the public. So I just basically went on Facebook. But that's where I'm at with it. Maybe, you know, like I should, you know, do that. And inshallah, you know, like I will, you know, have something that I will be able to present in a, you know, full form.
Okay. Yeah, I think we're gonna move other people in line there. I think you send me a paper, a reference to someone who did or does have a formal paper on it or something like that? Did you send me something like that?
Not that I can remember at this point, no.
Okay, I thought you sent something, or maybe I saw a comment of you supporting someone else who had taken a position about it.
Because that's the other thing right now, Brother Imam. Right now, man, there are a lot of people that are basically coming out and saying, you know, like, yo, man, this thing, man, you know, it's getting to the point where, you know, like, you know, it's infiltrated our culture, and now, you know, like, it's on automatic pilot, and now, you know, like, you know, the white man don't have to come in and kill us, we're killing ourselves. You don't have to come in and call us niggas. You don't have to come in and do that. We're doing that to ourselves. You know, like,
You know what? So what? Maybe we'll set up. This is not a promise. This is just, you know, a threat. Possibly, I'll put it that. I mean that in a humorous way. That, you know, we'll bring you, have you on and some others, and actually discuss / debate, quote unquote, the subject, with the object being al-bayan, clarity. Inshallah.
Yes.
Thank you so much, my brother, for the past, for the present, and for the future. Thank you, sir.
Alhamdulillah, brother. One more question. I do have a recording I'd like to send you, but it's only in MP3 form that I think that you.
That's
so, you know, where would I would send to Sabiha?
I got you. You can send it to my email or. Well, you can probably put it in a link form and send it to my phone, right?
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Either way. Okay.
Okay. I'll work that. I'll work on that, but I'm sure that you will enjoy it. I'm sure that the community would enjoy it too.
Alhamdulillah. I look forward to it.
Thank you, brother. Man, appreciate you.
Thank you.
Assalamu
alaikum. Likewise.
Alhamdulillah.
That's Brother Weem. For those you don't know, he's the voice on Birds of a Feather, and several other great propagator songs. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Ah, here we are, a sound artist right here. Brother Melvin, what's going on, man? Thank you for your patience, bro.
Alaykum as-salam, Imam, and to the listening audience. And I got a little bit confused as he was, Brother William was talking. I was thinking at one point, he was almost saying, porting the idea that is that music was haram. Toward the end, I got a little confused, but I know that he couldn't possibly think that because he's propagated. So I'm not. Anyway, but what I wanted to say was, I'll ask you. Was I got in your talk earlier? I got a little bit. Oh, I didn't understand this phrase when you were saying that the Egyptian language without the grammar and what immediately came to mind was the hieroglyphics that I was trying to see. How do you even see grammar in hieroglyphics, you know? And that's why, so I'd like you to kind of expound on that if you might.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you obviously you would have to, you know, you'd have to go to someone who has the science of that. But the point is that we can imagine ourselves standing inside of some great hall or wherever you find the hieroglyphic writing at, right? You're just looking at symbols, right? It doesn't matter. You're looking at figures, right? So birds and dog-headed men and hawks and then plants and blah, blah. You can call them signs. They're hieroglyphics. They are in an order. The order that they are in is the grammar, right? Just like we read Arabic from right to left, and we read English from left to right, you know? So when you see those, and I think Asian writing is up and down, right? You know, either from up to down, what have you. So those pictures are in an order. They're not just up there randomly. So it's a sentence. So when you see the pictures, you're seeing a sentence. The one who understands how each piece relates to and affects and connects with the next piece, that's the grammar. So I don't know the grammar of hieroglyphics, But those people who read hieroglyphics understand the grammar of hieroglyphics, even though it's all pictures. Because in the end, words, you know, I'm talking about words with letters, words made of letters, they're nothing but pictures also. You know, that's what they are. It's even like the Chinese language or Asian languages, whatever, they're actually called pictographs also. They're called pictographs, right? Because you have these markings, you have these markings angled to and towards each other. It's like you're looking at one thing. It could be two or three different English words in just those markings, right?
Yes.
So the bottom line is that ink on paper is nothing but a picture anyway. That's what it is. It's a picture, you know? So the point is the grammar is how each piece relates to the other because it's their connection in that line that gives birth to meaning. Meaning comes out of the connection, right? And when things are connected properly, then that's how meaning arises. Meaning arises out of the connection between the pictures, the letters, et cetera. So meaning is that abstract thing that comes as a product of it, right? I use the chemical analogy for it, right? So if you think about the what do you call it, the chemical chart, whatever that is, you know that chemical chart.
Periodic.
So you have all different elements, right? So all those elements are like alphabet, literally. So it's like, but each one has its own nature. Right, each one has its own quality, right? And so then, when you combine them, then you produce something from that combination, right? Okay, it's the same way with alphabet. You know, an alphabet, all they are, they're just separate letters, right? But when you combine separate letters in a certain construction, then you create a word, and then that word has within it. By that combination has within it, okay, C-A-T, right? C is the letter, A is the letter, T is the letter. Okay, separated, they really don't mean anything. They're just what they are, right? But then when I put the C with the A and the A with the T in that particular order, then there's a meaning that comes in consequence of the order of the C-A-T. Now, if I put the A in front of the C and make it A-C-T, I have the same elements in a different order, different meaning, right? So just like it's true for letters, it's also true for words, right? I can take a word standing separately, but what does it mean? It doesn't really mean anything. People who speak the language might know, okay, well, I know what that is. But its meaning is that you have a definition, but you don't know what it means. You don't know what it means until you put it into a sentence. When you put it into a sentence, that's what it means, right? So meaning is born of the combination of words, right? But you have to combine the words in a way that we say makes sense, right, to the people who speak that language. And the idea of it making sense is that it gives meaning, as the Arabic grammar, as a linguist, it says, mufid, it gives meaning, right? So that's really all it is. It's grammar is the order that words are put in that bring out meaning, right? And meaning is what we eat. Meaning is what feeds us. Meaning is what empowers us. Meaning is what motivates us, right? You can't get anything out of a sentence that you don't understand its order, and therefore you don't understand its meaning. So it's meaningless. It doesn't get you don't get anything from it, right? I'll leave it right there. So what do you think?
Oh, well, I would like to say to that, you know, as you were speaking, Brother Man, I was thinking about, you know, I was getting a mental picture of what you were saying, and I was thinking about the fact that, you know, I guess the words, even the letters, they have a meaning, but it's not complete. It's almost like you're not getting a complete meal. You're just getting ingredients. You're not quite getting the whole thing. So
right. So
it has a little bit of something, but it's not enough to,
right.
You know, I need something I can chew on for. You know what I mean? So
right.
I saw that connection right there. So, yeah, it went to that sister, the sister that did that book, Matula, who made that book about the education and how everything was numbers and everything just keeps adding on. You know, you got, you know, cells multiplied, divided, and subtracted. And it's the same with
right.
letters as well. As you begin to add, it just builds. It builds on top. It's just like a cell would build. Now you have a whole piece of skin instead of just one skin cell, you know, that type of thing.
Right, right.
I also would like to say that you know, my understanding
Let me add to that, and then we'll move on. Just
mm-hmm.
for example's sake, for the benefit of everybody, mashallah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So you have a pile of bricks, a random pile of bricks, you know, they're not even stacked in any kind of order, a random pile of bricks. Those are like words, right?
Yes.
Bricks in a construction, that's words with grammar, right? So
yes.
Grammar is what puts it in an order to make it become something else, the words, right? So
uh-huh.
so that's the difference. So grammar is what makes the words realize their value, right? A word's
mm-hmm.
value is realized with grammar. Without grammar, you can't get the value of a word. Go ahead.
Okay. That makes perfect sense to me. Absolutely. What I'm thinking about as it related to music, just to go back to the music thing, was that, you know, it appears that it was only haram when corrupted grammar and words were applied to it or were mixed with it. It seems like the music
uh-huh.
by itself, in and of itself, even I would say there's even a somewhat of a pure grammar within the nature of music just in itself, because, you know, as you hear notes that go well together, you know, in a series of scales or whatever the case may be, it sounds very smooth to the ear. But when you add
mm-hmm.
words to it that may be, even though they're smooth music, but the words are corrupted. I think that's where
yeah.
the haram comes in. It's not in the nature of the sound itself. You know, the notes can be found in nature of it by itself. You know, so how are you going to say that it's haram just in the
yeah,
sound?
I just wanted
to.
Alhamdulillah, I feel the debate coming on clearly, and I think one of the centers to it, it is in language, the terminology. Here's a serious joke, but we're gonna take it off. So the Supreme Court had the debate about is quote unquote pornography free speech? Is pornography free speech, right? And so one of the Supreme Court justices said, look, I may not know the difference between art. But I know pornography when I see it. so it's like, come on now. You can call it art as much as you want to, but we know the difference between art and pornography, right? So when the language, the terminology of music itself, which I think what Brother William is also pointing to. It's the language itself that's tied with the brain patterns of the Europeans and their idea. Part of his position is changing the language from music to sound art.
Yeah.
So you see it in the context
yeah.
of art. So it's like the corollary between art versus pornography, I think, can be used and applied to sound art versus music. Sound art versus
mm.
music. I think that's a part of it, but that's without the full benefit of deeper research. All right. Thank you so much.
Okay.
My brother.
Thank you. I think, Brother, just real quick. Oh, can I say one quick
mm-hmm.
thing?
Sure.
Yeah. Just your just to bring to what you said is, you know, the art would be the abstract without the details. I think the pornography
uh-huh.
would be the details. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Too much detail, you know. So anyway,
yeah, too much detail. That's right. Yeah. Oh, what do you call oversharing,
yeah.
huh? Holds a bit less attention. All right, man.
All right.
Shukran. All right.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. All right, my precious brother, Imam Nazim, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How you doing?
Alaikum assalamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You. One of the true times that I'm glad I'm coming toward the end, it was a really, really enjoyable journey coming toward, moving forward there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Almost left me with nothing to say, but I got a few things I want to add to what beautiful, very, very insightful there. While I'm thinking about it, whenever you do, whatever y'all thinking about or threatening to do, please include me on the panel. I have some definite opinions that I think will help in the thinking out process and get the harm and the benefit straight now.
Inshallah.
Inshallah.
Okay.
Yeah, that should be added. progression that this took on and is taking on right now as we speak. But when I was in FOI class, newly into the Nation of Islam, the lieutenant used to have Saturday class. I guess it was Saturday anyway. I don't know. But anyway, he said this Saturday, he said, and this is related to communication, he said, you know what you want to say, but do you know how to say it so somebody else can understand it?
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard that and when I started applying that, and that was 40, 50 years ago almost, I didn't know it was going to be that beneficial, and it just kept getting more and more beneficial, especially
mm-hmm.
after Imam Muhammad introduced us to his language. And the words, you know, make people and all the stuff that we were talking about on there. But still, that wasn't sufficient because it was like the progression went from, okay, you want to be an effective communicator, you got to make sure you're saying things so people can understand it. It's your job. It's not their job to understand you. Your job to make yourself understood by them. And then
mm-hmm.
Imam Muhammad's language changing our language, and then you coming behind that to unpack Imam Muhammad's language so that it can have ability and application further than what we were giving. Look what I got. This is what the mom. How bad
you're breaking. You're breaking up a little bit.
Okay.
Don't want to miss a drop. Don't want to miss a drop.
Okay.
But
okay.
Go back a couple of sentences. You
okay.
talk about unpacking what
yeah.
the man gave. Go from there.
Yeah, that was what was needed. I was like you. I got a little emotional and my emotions got animated. But that was what was needed because Imam Muhammad's language was very great and wonderful, but it was just on the surface if we didn't dig deeper, like you said, and begin to unpack it. And then what an unpacking entails is that you begin to apply it, and then that application turns into ability. That's very
mm-hmm.
important because a lot of us are just using his language, but unfortunately it's not Islamic logic that we're applying it with. We're using Western logic to apply Imam Muhammad's Quranic language.
That's a big deal. That's very important.
Yeah,
that's very important.
Absolutely. And,
yeah.
and that's why a lot of us are getting headaches and heartaches because we're not being well received and we're wondering what's
mm-hmm.
wrong. Well, you might want to check
yeah.
your language and your logic, then you'll see that it's not producing the
yeah.
right sensitivity because
you
got to mix
there. I want you to continue, but I want to jump on a little bit of that point right now, so I won't lose it because you know how it is when we talk sometimes.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's this for people to understand and appreciate the idea of you can quote unquote learn another language, but if you still speak it through the old mind, right?
Yeah.
Then you're going to have the problem. This is what I hear you saying.
Yes.
Some people may think there's. Let's go with Imam Muhammad, right? They may think that they're speaking the language of Imam Muhammad because maybe it's because they use words that he used.
Mm-hmm.
And that's right. You use words that he used. But sometimes the very words that he used, if you use them in a context or in a frame, and I'll have to say, if you use them with a grammar that's not true to his grammar, then, yeah, you said what he said, but the order in which you said it violates the very thing that you think you're supporting, right? You betray a failure of understanding of what the imam is actually giving. And now like Quran, for example, right? You have the Quran, they read something from the Quran, say something from the Quran, or they quote unquote study the Quran, and the translations and the other ways that they go about expressing it is showing that, yeah, it's the words are Quranic, but the mind expressing it is, you can say Christian, or you can say secular, or you can say what have you. And now, I spent all that time to come to a concrete example. When you hear someone who is speaking English as a second language, right, whatever, Hispanic or Asian, or and so they are truly speaking English as a second language. And they may know the language well enough to, you know, have a conversation with a sympathetic, this is the language in the books, let's call it, a sympathetic interlocutor, someone who, okay, I understand, I know what you mean, but you really didn't say it right, but I'm not going to stop and correct you every time you don't say something right. Just keep talking. I know what you mean. So that person who knows the language as their first language, listening to someone speaking it as their second language, bypasses and forgives the mistakes that the person makes in their orders of expression, because they can correct it in their own mind and say, okay, I know what you mean. Okay, well, you go down here, take a right, blah, blah, blah. All right, so now the point is that the kind of mistakes that the second language, the English as a second language, for example, speakers, the kind of mistakes that they make in their expressions are true to their language pattern. So they make mistakes in English because they're still being true in their expression of their Spanish grammar, right? So they're speaking the English language, but you can hear the Spanish grammar behind it because they put the verb or the adverb before or after in it. But they knew the English word, but they didn't have the English grammar straight. And so, therefore, when someone who knows the grammar hears them say that, they say, oh, okay, well, I excuse that. They don't even bring it up, but they understand that it's not true to it. All of that to say that this is the kind of mistake that we make in, for as far as how we relate to Quranic Arabic language for us. We can still be thinking with English or Christian grammar. Our mindset can be the grammar of a Christian or the grammar of an English-speaking person because we have not totally transformed ourselves or come onto the platform, including the words and the grammar of Arabic, from the Quranic Arabic particularly, from a genuine point of view, meaning that we have not truly become that second person because we're still using an English, mindset. From a religious perspective, we may still be using Christian mindset, the old Bible mindset, when we are reading the Arabic. And I think I've said enough to at least get people into the arena of what I'm intending. But you go ahead. You can go ahead with your point and any other right now.
Yes, and you know, like you said before, that was a corner piece, so it needed that attention that you gave it, because if I don't say nothing else after that if they get that, and if we get that, that's very important, because I'm telling you how much it served me, and it didn't serve me until I got to Quranic Arabic. it was there. I was flexing. I had a pistol instead of a gun. If that makes sense.
Okay.
Anyway, let me get focused. Okay, so the last point I wanted to make, and you gave me another point to add to it, was that one thing that we have to get an Islamic education. See, that addresses that when we get the Islamic education, and it has to be ongoing. And the reason it has to be ongoing is because nothing about life is static. Once you stop, your range of motion ends with that stopping. You know, the physical thing in motion stays in motion, the thing in rest stays at rest. That's true about grandma and life and just in general. It's not just physics.
Right.
It's also true about life, you know. So that's the real reason for that. And then the last little thing was that you talk about gatekeepers and people who know the language and whatnot. I remember when I first started, not first, but my second attempt at making a business, and I got into residential cleaning versus just window cleaning and floor cleaning. And I was over to lawyer friends. I just got a big account making. I moved from his office to his house. And so he said, okay, yeah, I want you to vacuum the floor. He said, but I need you to change the bag in the vacuum cleaner, and you know, because it's full. So I get there and I'm trying to do that. He comes home at lunch and I'm still on the floor. I'm trying to read the instruction. I said, but it's just not clear. He looked at the instruction. He looked at what I was doing, and then he showed me what I needed to do. But I didn't learn until years later that it wasn't that the bag wasn't problem with what the instruction was. I didn't know the language. I didn't know the language, and he knew the language, and he knew the insides in the language. Oh, you see, he didn't correct me and say, oh, well, see, this here what you think means you? Because you only got one meaning for this. See, you don't know it means three or four different things, so you couldn't change the bag because you was applying your one limited language to it, so it never got changed until I got here, until I applied the right language to that word that you've been using forever, but you didn't know how to do it. And then the other thing was, I moved from that and got bigger clients, and some of those were Jewish clients. So I had this experience with this Jewish, two experiences with the Jewish clients that I had. Both of them were females. So I'm telling her, you know, you're coming home and it's cold there, and, you know, if we could send some sunshine where you're at, we could better the situation. I said, we could make hundreds of dollars. I hadn't said it out of my mouth and got it out in about, I mean, 3 nanoseconds. And I said, she said, no, millions. He said, you're not thinking big enough. I said, okay. Okay. That's what insider do. All right. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. That's right. Alhamdulillah. Well, yeah. Thank you,
brother.
So
I appreciate it. Yeah, alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, thank you all, everyone, for your comments, your feedback, and your continued presence. Okay, in the few minutes that we have left, I want to just amplify a little bit of what was said in the Juma. So important. I say these things, I repeat these things in this way because I am just thoroughly confident of how enriching and how empowering it will be and is, if you understand. So let's go. There are three sections of the Quran. I want you to, when you have a chance, go back to them, look at them, study them, you know, with in the frame that I'm speaking, to get the benefit of the particular frame that I'm speaking about. Okay, so one ayah is 14:4. That is, I believe that's Surah Ibrahim, 14th chapter, in the 4th verse. The next is verses 1 and 2, Surah Al-Bayyinah, that's Surah 98. The third is Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 185. And looking at and focusing on Bayyinah, and of course the first one and the primary verse is 55, Ayah 4. 55, Ayah 4, Surah Al-Rahman, Ayah 4. Pardon me, I got to also add Surah Al-Baqarah, Chapter 2, Ayah 256. All of them have this term, Bayan, in it. All of them have it in it. And so the whole khutbah went through the issue of how speech and intelligence is not definitively, concretely, explicitly the meaning of the word bayan. And so we've already gone through that. what I want to do, I want to give you very directly the functional definition. When I say it's not the definition, we're talking in terms of that. Just, there's different language inside of the scientific linguistic community. When I use the term MESDAR, in the formal way that the Arabic language grammar gives it, it's talking about the root of the word, in the sense like we talk about bayyana, right? We talk about bayyanun, that. But part of the nature of language, which my appeal is, the invitation to, okay, get beyond the quote unquote literal, concrete, explicit way of understanding or defining a term. Yes, use it, but understand when you go to fitratullahi lati fatara an-nasa alayha, when that becomes a part of the way that you reason about language and words and meaning in the Quran, is a powerful shift to it. So mesdar, for me, it means to find the place where those three base stems, so the base stem of the term bayyana, for example, find the place where it connects with nature, where it connects with nature. When I say it connects with nature, what natural phenomena, concrete or abstract, you know, laws of creation are natural phenomena as well, if you understand it. Laws of creation are natural phenomena. And indeed, Imam Muhammad points out to us that laws of creation is actually the language of creation, the language of creation. It is also the grammar of creation, the laws. The laws of creation is the grammar of creation. The laws of creation is or are what gives the universe itself its form and function. The form and function of creation is because of the nature of the laws operating in creation. That makes the laws operating in creation the grammar of creation. That is the grammar. It's like sentence structure. We talk about sentence structure. Sentence structure is correct because it obeys certain laws. Right? So it's like if I'm speaking French, then there are grammatic laws for French. If I'm speaking Spanish or writing, either way, writing or speaking Spanish, another language, well, there are laws, i.e. grammar, in order for it to be correct. Okay, so it is with the nature of creation, And, I mean, for those of you who are further along the path, this is why when you look at a sentence in the Quran, there's a certain order that you expect in order for it to be correct from a grammatic point of view, right? If it's a nominal sentence, if it's a verbal sentence, there are certain things that you look for to be first and then to come after in the nominal. There's certain things that you look for to be first and to come after in the verbal sentence. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you verses in the Quran, and that order will be broken. That order is, how is this, and where's my object? Well, there's no object here, and if this is that, then how come this is a, God is saying, do that. Now think about it, right? So when the order is, quote unquote, I'm saying, quote unquote, violated, meaning that order is not respected, if God is doing it, he's giving you something new. So just simply to understand, I don't want you to take it where the phenomena in nature that you only have to be talking about something that is physical, something that is concrete. There's a reality that's a label for it is abstract composites. Abstract composites are realities that are unseen, but are real, and that have real effect on the nature of life, such as it is. All right. So Bayan, I'm saying, with that understanding, applying it to just the term Bayan. So I'm saying, if you're in touch with what I'm, with the way I walk through that, then you apply that to every other word that you talk about or read about. Any other thing that you're trying to understand, you have to have, Allahu Alam, you don't have to, but I recommend that. I hope that you can come to the understanding, okay, well, what phenomena in nature is this connected with? See, because I say, until you connect it with the phenomena in nature, you haven't touched on what Allah's will is in it, and you haven't understood it as an expression of the will of Allah. And that's what we have to get. We have to, okay, God, why do we have this? What is this for? And I got to tell you, don't let this become a cliche for you, because you'll miss a lot. The Imam Khalaqa, Sawa, Qadara, Hada, if you can understand that and apply that to whatever it is you're debating, whatever it is you're discussing, whatever it is you're trying to understand, put it through that process. Khalaqa, Sawa, Qadara, Hada. So Hada, which is the end, is like, what is its role in the guidance of Allah? What is its role in the guidance of Allah? All right, that's the fourth, that's the conclusion, that's the outcome, that's the end of the process, that's the final answer that you have to get in order to say, I understand it. Because understanding means just that, that you got the meaning and you know how to apply it. Understanding, I got the meaning and I know how to apply it. If you don't know how to apply it, it's a demonstration of the fact that you don't know what it means and that you don't understand it. But once you understand it, i.e., you know what it means and know how to apply it, that's it. But you have to process it through. You get it right there? Ah, now I know what to do with it. All right, brothers and sisters, everything I've talked about goes into what I'm going to tell you right now. Al-Bayan. الرحمن علم القرآن خلق الإنسان علمه البيان علمه this علمه he caused him to know البيان the بيان something very specific and give you the end product of that process which we mentioned in the Jummah but here it is البيان is the human capacity for abstract thought which leads to truth and reality. The human capacity for abstract thought which leads to truth and reality. A third time. Al-Bayan. The human capacity for abstract thought which leads to truth and reality. Brother and sister, listen. Teach a man, you feed a man a fish, and you feed him for a day. I'm giving you something I know is a cliche that you've heard. Give a man a fish, and you feed him for a day. Teach him how to fish, and you feed him for a lifetime. All right? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has made this statement as one of his graces. Ar-Rahman, allama al-Qur'an. خلق الإنسان علمه البيان الله أكبر. Our time is up, but let's give the simple functional expression of it. Ar-Rahman, this is the one who's talking to us now in this ayah, in this surah, and many, many blessings in that whole surah. They said, Ar-Rahman, God is saying, I'm about to speak to you from my attributes. Ar-Rahman. Allahu Akbar. Ar-Rahman. Allama al-Qur'an. The first thing is I caused the Qur'an to be known. It's like it has come into your environment. It has come into your space. It has come into your world. I caused the Qur'an to be known. Introducing Allahu Akbar. He said, Allama al-Qur'an. And from that revelation, That is the revelation of the fact of and the existence and the coming into the world of the Quran, خلق الإنسان. Words make people, right? The words of the Quran created a whole new being, created a whole new type of being. We call them Muslims, we call them believers. But in the world had not seen in the form and the magnitude and order. Because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the model of that, and he is the first al-insan in this distribution. He's the first al-insan because he's the one that Allah caused the Quran to be known to, and this is what made him al-insan. He was already great, already wonderful, already true to his nature, ummiyyah. But with the Quran, now he is al-insan. Al-insan, the inside man, is that creature that when I say لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ التَّقْوِيمِ, look at Muhammad. He's that. He is that. He's the model. He's the model. He's the model. That's it. How did he become that model? First, he had the fifth, the original nature, unsullied, unspoiled by the world, by his culture, etc. And then on top of that purity, Allah revealed the Quran, caused the Quran to be known. And now what stands before you is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is the model of how I mean for all of you to be. That's your model. Approximate that. Get to that. Move toward that. خلق الإنسان علمه البيان. Allamahu al-bayan. So if we keep that to Muhammad, we don't have to keep it to Muhammad. This is the place that we're pointing to, but it's not only for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but that's where it is first. Allamahu al-bayan. I taught him. I caused him to know. I gave him the capacity for abstract thought, which leads to truth and reality. And so Muhammad says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet, he says, I have been given jawami al-kalam, jawami al-kalam. I have been given the ability to state in a few words what took volumes before my time to express. And things are made plain by what the Prophet said. And that's really just the beginning. So speaking about just human being as a unique creation. You can go through that set of verses, Allahu A'lam, go through that set of verses and just think about it, not just, or particularly in the context of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You can think about it also in the context of just of what God has done for human beings. So the gracious, he caused the Quran to be known to the human being. And those human beings who come to know it, they come into the form that Allah intends for them to come into. And then they also have the ability, abstract truth and reality from the nature of creation. And that whole give a man a fish or teach him how to fish, when Allah gave the human being the capacity for abstract thought that enables us to discover truth and reality, That's teaching us how to fish. That's teaching us how to fish. And that's what human beings have been doing by that nature. Set aside the Quran for now in this distribution. Set aside the Quran. Just the very fact that Allah created us with the brain and mental capacity for abstract thought, all the worlds that we've been able to build and all the civilizations we've been able to accomplish, everything we've been able to produce in this, in our existence is because of that grace that Allah has given us, the capacity for abstract thought and the ability to arrive at truth and reality through that power. The abstract thinking is our fishing pole. I'll put it that way. Abstract thinking is our fishing pole. And you go fishing in the universe and you catch things in the universe. Sometimes you catch some big fish. Sometimes you catch some little fish. But the point is that is your fishing pole to get ideas that are swimming around in the universe, right? And you bring them and you get that meaning. The fish is like meaning, right? You're able to get meaning. You feed yourself with the fish that you get from the cosmos by the power of your abstract thinking. Work with that, brother and sister. Work with that, because what is it that you're trying to produce? What is it that you're trying to achieve? What is it that you're trying to accomplish? Okay? And do you know how to abstract that, or the wherewithal for that? Or do you know how to abstract that from the nature of creation, including your social existence, your cultural existence, the universe itself? Do you know how to do that? If you understand thinking abstractly, you can. And those who are able to do that, you listen to these people, the wealth people, you listen to the Shema Palihapitiya, the Michael Saylors, and there's so many others. You listen to them, you'll find that there's some keywords that they talk about that's very, very simple, fall off their tongue very easily, but they represent powerful paradigms for wealth. Okay, you understand it, then it's all about just chicken dinners, I guess. MashaAllah. So may Allah guide us to the best, forgive us our shortcomings and errors, and protect us from the weaknesses of our own self. God's peace be on you, everybody. Have a wonderful day. InshaAllah, we'll be in touch perhaps tomorrow. God's peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum. Wa rahmatullahi ta'ala barakatuh.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.